Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jaroslyn and Tanea.
Baby, you make my love fly free. I love you in my life for all time. Because guess what, y'all? Ho, 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 ha. Caught up in the rapture of love. Because a lot of y'all thought we was going to have a rapture today. And the only rapture is Anita Baker. If you have not been on social media, it's a whole bunch of people who thought the rapture was today. We're supposed to be dead by 10 a.m. So.
Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV as well as TikTok.
Yes.
We are your hosts. I'm Jaroslyn.
And Tanea, who has survived the rapture.
Yes, so did I. We have both survived the rapture. We are here for season 6, episode 2. And yeah, we be on social media clearly. So don't forget to follow us at We Watch Too Much TV, the T-E-A with the letter V. And yes, I did see that there was conversations about apparently the rapture was supposed to be occurring on Tuesday, September 23rd. So we all woke up on that day, awaiting if we were going to start floating up into the sky. And it didn't happen this time, but that doesn't mean that Jesus is not coming. Okay.
Yes.
So stay ready so you don't got to get ready. Okay.
Yes. But we won't know. And in the meantime, listen to us and watch TV with us.
Period.
And let us know if you heard about this rapture over here. I was just trying to cram in all the TV. I was like, let me watch these shows.
Before the end is near. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You never know.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to us, supporting us. We appreciate it. All the comments. L'Oreal, I'm so sorry, from Heart and Hustle Houston. She's so happy for our support.
Oh,
I forgot her name, but she did comment on our shout out and said she's very happy that we like her show.
Latoria?
Yes. So sorry, girl.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Thank you for the support. And we support you because I do like that show. Period.
Yes.
That's the benefit of so what we do each episode is we take clips from just points that were made. And that's typically my job. And so I always just try to think making it even, Tanea's takes, my takes, but then I'll try to go for one that just kind of might be a good soundbite for if someone from the show should watch. Would they be upset, offended? What would their reaction be? Last week, Tanea was talking about a lot of morbid documentaries. So I was like, okay, let's take her clip from talking about The Paper and Corey King.
Listen, it's what I watch. You got to mix it up a little bit.
Balance. A little healthy balance. But let's just see now what, if there is a documentary you have this week, if it's morbid, if it's just informative. Because, you know, you're very diverse with the documentaries that you watch. You watch them all.
Yeah.
So with that, let's get into our weekly grab. Okay, best friend, what is first on your list?
First is what I think is slowly becoming my number one Housewives franchise because it's the only one I'm caught up to with all seasons and all episodes, and that's The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. It premiered right after we taped last week. All the ladies from season 5 are back for season 6, unfortunately. The season premiere starts with Lisa being the talk of the episode, yet she's not even in the episode. So I just, love her or hate her, she is very much needed in this space. So they, of course, they always film like a couple weeks after the reunion. First, Whitney has this orange hair that I don't really know how I feel about it yet. I don't hate it, but I don't love it. It's just very distracting. Anyway, so the ladies, Angie decides to surprise the ladies with an RV trip. She gives them like an invite that has like a plane, a bikini, boots, and like water to try to confuse them. This girl, Brittany, comes. They're in Utah. She comes to the like waiting area where they're getting picked up with like a fur coat, a bikini, and cowboy boots. She's like, "Well, I read the invite, so I took it literal. So I wore everything that they told me to wear."
I get
Brittany is like number one most annoying housewives of all time. Can't stand her.
Oh.
Anyway, the girls, Angie throws a trip to take the girls RV and like one night kind of camping. She asks Mary to co-host it with her, but
Oh, Lord.
Mary is like, "You have never seen me climb, sleep outside. I don't even, what is this?" Mary is so funny. She's like, "Why am I here? Why did you put my name on this? I don't want to be here." So basically, all the ladies have to sleep on an RV for the night. They don't have any hotel accommodations. But most of the trip, they're speculating why Lisa isn't there. Lisa said that she had work, but mostly she didn't want to be around Bronwyn. Heather kind of put 20, like, just kind of didn't talk too much about the Bronwyn part. But they're just all arguing about Lisa. Brittany is taking Lisa's back, like, "Oh, that's my friend now." And everyone's like, "Brittany, where do you come from?" I'm just sorry, but Brittany annoys me. And maybe they keep her because they need someone for you not to like. But she will take a scene that has nothing to do with her. Announcement. I got engaged and then unengaged. And I didn't like how you said that. And she's like the worst because she just won't let life happen. So the only thing I mainly got from the episode would one, Lisa is the drama. And two, oh my gosh, I hate Brittany so bad, best friend. Just like,
More than like, I mean, I didn't, I skipped last season. So right now I'm just watching the part three of last season's reunion so I could start the new season. And I get the whole Britney annoying thing. And I think that she came in and took over for Whitney because she was always just so cringe to me. Her voice, always looking for a moment. So from the sounds of it, it sounds like Britney has become that, which has probably made Whitney a little bit more redeemable.
yeah, because the thing is, at least with Whitney, like, she would be annoying, but sometimes it would be relevant. Britney will interrupt the whole conversation and try to make it about her, and it's so, and it just, it doesn't align. It's like me and you were talking about shoes, and then somebody's like, "Well, I just went to Africa." She just is always left field. It's never, and everybody, wait, they drive in an RV, they're passing the neighborhood, and Brittany's like, "Oh, I live right over there." Mary said, "Maybe we could drop you off." She just is like a moment killer, just like, girl, she wants to be like the Angie K. I think she wants people to attach to her, but it's hard because she's so cringe. But
Yeah, nobody's gonna attach to you like that.
She tries too hard to be a housewife, and the housewives I hate the most are the ones who just won't naturally let us like them. Kind of like Kelly from Real Housewives of Atlanta. Not Kelly, Britt, the one that left because she's suing them. Britt. I know when you try too hard to have like a moment or like a viral clip, your fan and fans of housewives never work as opposed to actual housewives. So this episode's good. Brittany, you're cringy. What's first on your weekly grab?
Well, first on my weekly grab, I'm doing more scripted this week.
Ooh.
So first, as we embark on spooky season with the start of fall, is Wednesday. Season two, y'all know I talked about season one when it came out. That was be now like 2 years ago, so probably two seasons ago. But season two is out on Netflix. It was broken up into two parts, similar to what they did with part season one. And loving Jenna Ortega. She's just so in her element, as well as even Emma Myers, who plays the role of Enid, Wednesday's roommate, who is a werewolf. And this season, she finds out that she is an alpha werewolf, which means that she is like more powerful than the average werewolf, in addition to the fact that she could kind of wolf out and not turn back into a human in the event of like a super alpha wolf moment. So there's that, in addition to the buildup on the Hyde story, which we saw in season one. So now you're seeing the return of the Hyde, which is like the guy, and we are introduced to his mother, who was like locked up in an insane asylum. And Wednesday, along with the help of her brother Pugsley, but they weren't even working together, but Pugsley, another story. But they kind of break open this insane asylum. The mother Hyde gets out, and now it's like two Hydes versus one, which, you know, Hydes are like this wild kind of beast-like animal that has no control and will just ravage apart anyone in its path, even the people that it loves, because once they're a Hyde, it's a whole different mindset and mentality. So there's that. There's also someone that is like following and stalking Wednesday and threatening to kill her roommate Enid, which is why the main mystery that Wednesday is trying to solve this season, because you know every season it's like a big mystery. She's like a little Harriet the Spy, but you know, the Addams Family version. And so she's trying to solve this mystery of who wants to kill her roommate without letting the roommate know. All the while, Pugsley, his electricity powers helped him bring back to life this zombie. And he's trying to keep the zombie as a pet, but it's still a zombie who is hungry. And he's trying to feed the zombie like sandwiches and stuff. But the zombie wants brains. And once the zombie continues to eat brains throughout the episode, you see the zombie kind of coming back into its former flesh-like human self, and this person just happened to be the former best friend of what's the dad's name?
Best, no, that's the uncle.
Gomez.
Oh, okay.
Gomez Adams. And it was this best friend that tricked Gomez into giving him power because he basically was like this Frankenstein scientist that was trying to heal his sister, who happens to be the mother Hyde. So he wants to heal his sister so that she's no longer a Hyde. He's still trying to take power from one of the Addams. And instead of now it being Gomez, he's now trying to target his son, Pugsley, who brought him back to life. It's a whole unraveling mystery. But it was so good from start to finish. Everyone did amazing, especially Emma Myers, because she does this dance scene to Lady Gaga, Dance of the Dead or Dead Dance. And it was such a standout scene. And now we're seeing that next season, she's turned into a werewolf and she's ran off. And she had made Wednesday promise that if she turned into a werewolf and couldn't change back, Wednesday would come looking for her. So that's like the buildup going into season three. But Enid is a werewolf. So we won't probably be seeing much of her the way we have in season one and two next season. But that Lady Gaga dance scene was definitely like the perfect send off. And again, Jenna Ortega's just doing the damn thing. I also like the mom that plays, I mean, the woman that plays the mom. What's the mom's name? She, you know, the
In real life, Catherine
no, the
Zeta-Jones.
Addams Family. No, not Cat, right. Not Catherine Zeta-Jones, though, because Catherine Zeta-Jones is even playing her now. But
Morticia? Am I making that?
Morticia,
Okay,
yes.
look, I don't even watch the Addams Family. I just remember retain
Yeah,
names.
because those are, yeah, they're like iconic characters. So yeah, so the one who is carrying the legacy of Catherine Zeta-Jones is doing her justice. So it's also a good, if you haven't checked it out yet, despite the fact that I just told you the whole damn plot, I apologize. But it has been out since August. So if you haven't checked it out, it's a good watch as we go into spooky season.
How do you feel about it being split up? I was watching some feedback, like some people say it gets like slower because as they do it, they split it up instead of just giving you all the episodes at once.
I mean, I didn't mind because I'm not one, I binge stuff, but like I space stuff out. So I wouldn't even mind if they really did it like one episode a week type thing and still split it up and then took a little break and then one episode a week, just so it leaves you like wanting more and it could build it out since they take so long to film a season. But I know a lot of people just want it all at once, so I get it. But I'm fine with the two parts because by the time I realized part one was even out, my parents had come to watch Marley while I was out of town, and My dad watched part one, and so I'm thinking I had already watched it because it was already watched in my queue, and I didn't. So it's for everybody, all members of the family, from the grandparents to the parents to the children. It's a good watch. It's Halloween time too, so watch it. Wednesday, season two. All right, best friend, what is next on your weekly grab?
Ooh, next to my weekly grab, you spoke it up. It is a documentary. It is not a great one, but I just like to learn things, educate myself, and I feel like I said, I feel like it helps my anxiety in a positive way. So this is called Betrayal. I'll covered this before in an earlier season of our podcast because they come out with a different story every year. So it's based on a podcast, and they just find different people who write in and just tell them how their partner have betrayed them, if you will. So this is about a woman who was a young teen mom, married. Her marriage didn't work out. She was raising her daughter and her son. Her friend introduces her to a guy. He's a pre-med student. He's a doctor. He's the best guy. The kids love him. Fast forward, maybe they have their own two kids 6, 7 years later. One of her son's friends says that the stepdad tried to touch him. Nobody believes the son. Then another friend finds a charger in the bathroom that's actually a camera. They start doing all the research and stuff. They can't really find anything too like pulling on the guy. So they release him. He moves to Europe, of course, for 6 months. They're trying to do an investigation. The son lives with the aunt at the time, and the mother lives by herself with the young kids as the father's away. Long story short, maybe about 4 or 5 months into trying to find him, the son finds out that, they want to press charges, but they don't have any pressing. He comes clean. Stepdad been abusing him for 10 years, sexual, physical abuse. Convinced the little boy that it was his idea and told the little boy, "You're taking advantage of me."
Oh
Little
my
boy from
God.
about 12, 13 to 16, 17 was being molested. It comes out, the guy comes back to America. He didn't stay in Europe. He comes back as soon as he gets off that plane, he's arrested.
Good.
He goes to jail. He convinces the wife, because he still has two kids with the wife, even though he's in jail for molesting her son, convinces the wife, and the wife is just kind of to blame because she did not have enough boundaries to protect her kids. Convinces the wife, "Let me FaceTime my two littles while you're in the house." Whole time he's trying to convince the wife, tell the son to retract it. If the son says he's lying, I won't do any jail time. And then once he realizes that he can't get through, tries to hire somebody to kill the son. He uses the video time that he's trying to see the little kids to learn the layout of the house and the apartment. Writes it in letters to his godmother. His godmother, because his mom passed away, his godmother, he kind of is using her. She doesn't know it. He'll like give this letter to them, speak to them, but he never lets them keep it because it'll be evidence. Long story short, he's in jail for the rest of his life because they find him guilty of molestation of a child, and then they find him guilty of solicitation of murder. So it's just a betrayal. The son and the daughter forgive the mom. I don't forgive the mom. I feel like you weren't protecting your kids the moment you found out that he did something to your son. And then you feel sad for the son and the daughter because the mom just seemed like she just wanted love so badly. And then this guy was just nice to them. So I feel like they kind of was like, "Oh, he's good. Like, our mom's happy. We're going to just like champion him." So just to understand what type of mental and emotional breakdown this little boy was going through, protecting this guy who was harming him. But F you to that mom. The son is doing so good. He's engaged. He's working out. The daughter's actually in school to be like a lawyer to help kids when they go through this situation. And the guy is rotting in jail as he should be. Sometimes you really don't know who you marry. Betrayal is a really good podcast. But sometimes you also know because them red flags is there. Shorty just ignored it. And it was
No,
on
I think
date.
this story, not this one in particular, but th stories like it constantly repeat itself when it comes to the vulnerable single mom who is so infatuated with the idea of love. That vulnerability just attracts the nastiest wolves who can harm not just her, but her family, her children. And I think, as a mother, you have to constantly, one, be doing the work on yourself personally, internally, to recognize any areas that could pose a risk, which includes being so vulnerable and after for a man's attention and affection that you would just let any old person up in your house to the point of marrying them that is harming your children right up under your nose.
A
It's
hundred
like,
percent.
come on. You constantly hear these stories and it just gets so infuriating because it's just like, girl, did you really take time to get to know this man before you just went and let him all up in your house like that?
And she was so many
Joking?
flags that they said that they thought she was missing. And like the first child said something, the second child said something, and she didn't really believe it. It wasn't until her son came clean that she was like, oh, something is wrong. So to your point, just take care of them kids. Like, make sure they're safe. Make sure you're not ignoring, especially when it comes to their safety. But a really good documentary, but that mama messed up.
Yeah,
What's
as
next?
are most of the documentaries that you watch.
I know, but it's so crazy. I know. I've never watched a documentary and like there was a happy ending.
Like, I don't, yeah.
Dead, somebody go to jail, somebody got
The
harmed.
documentaries I watch is about Luther Vandross,
I'd be like,
Jesse
cult.
Smollett.
They dead.
Like, if I watch the trailer and I could just tell it's just daunting from start to finish with the story, I'm like, okay, yeah, no. Because even with the Mean Girl murders, like that I watch, like each episode, even though you know it's going to end in tragedy with someone having been killed, the narration of the, like the voice that narrates the story, it's in a tone of like, it's like basically Bad Girls Club meets Law and Order SVU. That's what Mean Girl Murders is. So the tone is like, so you know, when it comes to the bad girls, nothing is off limits. And then it'll go into the scene. And then it goes into the story of like the buildup of the beef between the victim and the like, you know, that works for me because I was definitely a huge Bad Girls Club fan back in the day. So Mean Girls Murders, that's the most morbid documentaries I could watch. But
Positivity.
leave it
Now,
up
what's
to
next on
Finesse.
your weekly grab? Not a documentary.
No, the next one is another
Exactly.
scripted show. My show on Amazon Prime, The Boys spinoff, Gen V. We are now going into season two, which definitely kicks off where they're really just trying to pick up the pieces with the storyline because we all know that the actor Chance Perdomo, who played Andre, passed away in a I believe a motorcycle or
Oh
car
no, I'm
accident.
sorry to hear.
Yeah, he had passed away while like right when they were about to start filming. So just from the looks of it with the season, it's clear that they didn't even get to shoot any content with him because they start the season that, well, the way season one ended were that they got locked into confinement in soup prison because remember they're all superheroes, so it's soup for short. So the Gen V students were that tried to rebel against the system got zapped by Homelander, who we know is the huge villain in The Boys. But this is a spinoff and it's also a crossover, so you get to see that some of the characters from The Boys appear in Gen V. So at the end of season one, Homelander zapped these kids that rebelled, and then they woke up in this like soup prison, and that's how the season ended. So now season two starts where they are out of the prison, but Andre is not with them because apparently something happened while they were in the prison, and he basically, I think he, I don't, I'm not sure if they are under the saying, insinuating if he kind of harmed himself or if it, or if he got killed in like a fight or something. But pretty much you're clear that he is gone. And so you're seeing the different, characters react to that. So he's still intertwined in the storyline, but he's just not physically there because he's dead. And then also his dad, who is played by, I used to remember his name back in the day, but he's the actor from Save the Last Dance.
Sean Patrick Thomas.
Yeah, yes, there you go. I knew it was Sean, and I knew it was three first names
Yes.
as his full name.
Live your dream.
Yes. So he plays the dad now because speed up 25 years and we're old now. And now he plays the dad in the film and not the high school student that he was in Save the Last Dance. And so he's angry. His son died. He also got injected with the soup venom. So he is also a soup himself. And so there's a buildup there of like what he's going to do with this anger, as well as what we're seeing this these soup students who all go to Godalkin University work to they're working to free the school from this oppressive rule that is now under Dean Cipher, who is a pro soup supremacist. And you see they tie in, there's a lot of tie-ins from the boys in Gen V to, you know, the government and like MAGA and white supremacy. So it's like they're pro, he's a pro soup supremacist, which could kind of be a reflection of a white supremacist in our today's media cycle. So these students uncover a secret, a vault program, which is what they're in from the 1960s about the school's founding, that it continues this war that they're in between humans and superheroes. And like I've been saying, there's like crossovers with characters from The Boys, and it'll satisfy anyone who's more of a Boys fan until we go into this next and final season of The Boys, which is coming like next year.
I was gonna ask because I know The Boys was canceled, but they still haven't aired the last season.
No, it wasn't canceled. It's just the end of the show. They're gonna
Got
close
it.
it at season 5. Because that show's amazing. It can't get canceled. Everybody watches it. But yeah, so Gen V season 2 is up on Amazon Prime. They just so far it's the first 3 episodes. And I think it comes out on Wednesdays. So I'll be locked in for this next episode. I think from here on they just release 1 episode a week. Until the end. So I love it. It's all the gore, all the crazy murder scenes and graphics, and it's really good. I love it. I love it
I
so
like
much.
morbid documentaries. You like morbid television. I'm not
Yes.
watching nothing scary. Get
Yes,
the
because it's
bones and the
fake.
blood away.
I'd rather watch fake
Because
than
it's fake. Yeah, you know it's not gonna
real
happen.
stories of kids getting abused and like sick people. Hell no. Heck no.
Yeah.
That's just too much of a reminder how sick the real world is. I'd rather watch a fantasy version of a sick real world.
The world
But
is
what
stupid.
is last on your weekly grab, best friend?
Last on my weekly grab is something light. I'm happy I could start watching it after my short boycott on Disney and Hulu. Because I didn't, it was time
You
for me
were
to
a part of the,
renew.
yes, you
It
were a
was
part
time
of the
for me to renew it.
revolution.
And I was like, I don't know if I'm renewing it yet.
Right.
So I'm supporting the cause. But anyway, Project Runway, the
Yes.
episode before the season finale. You talked about it last week, but Law Roach is the drama. It was just such a good. So this season, besides the twins versus VJ, I like shows like this. There's a little drama, not too much.
Right.
This was the most catty-ish like drama we got. So spoiler alert, spoiler alert. There was no elimination last episode. So instead of going from 5 to 4, or I think 5 to 3, they went from 5 to 5. Basically, it was just 5 people 2 episodes in a row. They had an avant-garde challenge, and they had the costume designer from Wicked. He was the guest judge slash
Paul
mentor.
Tazewell.
Yes, Oscar winner, black man, first of his type to do so. So basically, they had to do something different. All in all, I did think Ethan slash Utica was the best. I love the cover-up thing. The drama were two things that stuck out. Tyra Banks was the guest judge. I could tell that Law has been waiting 20 years to reenact the famous
Yes.
viral
He was
Tyra.
waiting for a moment to just do it.
I feel like he has been waiting from Legendary to any
Yes.
show to do it, and then to do it with Tyra next to him and Melania.
Right.
It kind of fit perfectly because Melania was getting very defensive.
She was.
Tyra looked so uncomfortable.
She did. And it's just like, girl, why are you so uncomfortable with that? Like, it happened that you should be able to laugh at it.
Yes, it's a part of
You
you now. It's a big
being cringe about
thing.
it is what makes it cringe. Like,
Yes. She was so cringe and just like the face. I'm like, it made it that much more funnier instead of laughing
yes.
with him. I'm like, girl, this is actually funny and you're missing out on the joke.
Period.
So that was the first thing. The second thing that stuck out was, of course, the messy RuPaul Drag Race question. Who do you want to go home or who do you want to be in the finale? And then the clause came out. I do believe there was a lot of back and forth on social media about VJ. Is he starting like drama? Is he doing his like little job? Is he right? Is he wrong? The twins. I do think it was messy. I do think what he has to say is kind of true. Like, if me and you were in a competition and we're going against each other, but we know each other, we're gonna fucking help each other until one of us leaves. Like, so I don't understand why people are so taken aback by the fact that him and his twin are helping each other.
Because it's still a competition and
It
it's
is.
annoying. So
It's
I
annoying.
understand VJ's frustration. I didn't really care for the fact that like she was like acting like a victim once she, they came for that ass.
That's what made me annoyed because you put that out there. You're supposed to just go with it. Like, they need to leave. It's annoying. But then once they started, you're starting drama, but da 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 da. BJ completely is like, it's not me. Yes, it is, girl.
But
It's
I
you.
also will say, and I felt like this from the start of the competition, the twins are rude. They've been rude to the judges during like deliberations, and they, behind the scenes with them being in a competition, but constantly helping each other and just showing like they're just for each other, even at the point when what's it? It's Jesus and the other, I can't remember the other one, but I know it, hey, the other one,
Antonio.
Antonio is the one that wasn't doing that well at first.
Yeah, Antonio's the sore loser and the one who basically walked out like, I'm leaving.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
I'm not gonna get humiliated.
Again, because also, how are you offended by law asking you a legit question? You're in a competition against your brother. Both of y'all are not going to win.
Yeah,
So, between the
literally.
two of you, who is the better designer? You're supposed to say myself at the end of the day. And you're going to get offended and leave. It's just like y'all doing too much trying to be a diva, but I'm sure they bring them back by next week. But it's still made for good TV because Project Runway has not had a moment like this in a minute.
No, and that's what I said. I love that it's drama adjacent. It's not too deep. It's not too much. I was very taken off. Like, I was very taken aback by VJ's reaction to him kind of like doing that from day zero. And I also personally hate Bellania's outfit. I thought it was really ugly, but it was still a really good episode.
Honestly, I appreciate that she, got a little save card this week, but her time has been coming. From when she made that silver thing last week, it was
Ooh.
just like, girl, what are you doing? Because it's not, it doesn't work. Whatever you're
Yes.
trying to do isn't it, don't do it anymore. It's just not,
Yes, I'm telling
no.
you. It was too much. But like I said, it's a good episode. To echo what you said last week, I just think the ending is so annoying. Just let me know.
Yeah, I'm just like, come
Like,
on, they keep doing that every week. At first I thought it was just like, a little sometimesy thing, but it's like you're doing it every week after week. It's annoying. But I
yeah.
definitely think the top three should be Ethan, one of the twins, which I would say Jesus and VJ.
I agree, and I also think I'm more embarrassed for Antonio just being a sore loser. Like, let them let you go. Let them make sure you going home. Like, I hate when people like, I'm gonna quit before you like let me go. Like, bro, just it's okay. But yes, it's getting good, and I can't wait to see who the winner is. What's
I
last
hope
name of
it's
the secret?
Ethan.
Me too. I feel like it will be him because I can't him or Jesus. I think VJ's okay, but VJ doesn't give me enough depth. I feel like, I don't know. I think
Yeah,
it's
I
gonna be
agree.
Jesus or Ethan. I don't think VJ or Valeria are gonna win. And I think Antonio's going to leave. Like, I think, and that just makes it unfortunate because I think that's kind of corny. Yes, what's last on your weekly grab?
So last on my weekly grab is my reality competition baking shows. And
Yes.
with it being Halloween time, it is Halloween Wars and Halloween Baking Championship. I'm going to talk about both of them, but first I'm going to talk about Halloween Wars. Because with Halloween Wars, you're seeing teams of three. You have a master baker, a master sugar artist, and a master pumpkin carver working together each week to create these all edible, tasty treats that tie into the theme of Halloween. So, the first episode that's available now, because the new season just started, so it's just one episode, they were tasked with creating a Halloween scene that is reminiscent of this year of school that they all had to like pick a type of card and were given along with a flavor. So one team got elementary school, one team got middle school, and one team got high school. And so they had to create these Halloween themes that were reminiscent of it, which honestly everyone struggled to do,
That
understandably.
sounds hard.
Right, because it's like, what are you going to now bake that is reminiscent of Halloween for that particular time of school period? And like the elementary school, they thought of like a Halloween parade, but it's like, how can you really create a whole damn parade with edible pieces? And then you're confined by time. And the middle schoolers, I believe theirs was like a classroom party. But was it the middle schoolers that they made their characters just too big? So yeah, they were in the playground, and the characters were just too ginormous over like the background. And then the high schoolers, that one to me was like the best looking one. It was a prank. It was like they went to go prank the high school principal type thing, and it was a mummy that was TPing the principal's office. So it was like cool little challenges. And then again, to see these different types of artists come together for the one goal of mastering this show, and then you see people that had been on the show in the past, whether they were pumpkin carvers or bakers. So I'm loving it. It also started on a more positive, upbeat note than Halloween Baking Championships, because this season, it's like they had the first episode, they just aired the second episode of the new season. And this season, it was like it kind of started off with chefs that were, well, bakers that were pretty shaky in themselves and their ability. Like one woman, like everyone knows, if the cake is too hot, you can't frost it. Like you just got to let it set.
That's
And
baking 101. Baking
that's
101,
exactly what they
okay?
said. Exactly what they said. So the fact that she did it and then the cake was just a runny mess and she wasn't really able to convey the design the way she needed to, she had to just make up a story like, so he sliced his heart and this is the, like, no, this is not it. It's not what you said, okay? And then in the end, it was like down to like these two bakers that was about to go home, but then one guy just said he wanted to disqualify himself from the competition because he said, I'm the back of the kitchen cook. I can't do this every time with these cameras on me. And it's like, sir,
Did he
you
not know what he was doing?
knew what, right? And you just took a spot from somebody who, but it's
Yeah.
cool. At least he was honest early enough in the competition. But the second episode, it had more of a light beat feel, and you're seeing Carla Hall give their judging on these ones were a lot better. They had to create a dessert that was like a removal of an organ, which is
Okay,
pretty cool.
okay, okay. Okay, cool.
I love it. I love it. It is Halloween time. We are going into the holiday season. First of the holidays is Halloween. So if you like baking competition shows, definitely head over to Food Network and check out Halloween Wars and Halloween Baking Championship. Or if you have Discovery Plus, or if you have Max, you can just watch it all because they're all on there. And we're not boycotting them this week. So
No, not
they're
this
in the clear.
week. Next
They're
week,
in the
we'll
clear.
know.
They're in the clear. But yeah, so that's our weekly grab, guys. That's what we've been watching since our last episode, since because we are back, season 6, episode 2. We watch too much TV. Don't forget to like and subscribe, rate and review, follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. That is TEA with the letter B, as in bitch.
Yes, and let us know what you want us to watch, what you want us to binge. Let us know because I will definitely watch almost anything.
She will.
Almost anything.
She will. I'm too busy, but I'll make an effort.
Yeah, I like to
I will
watch it while I'm
try.
at work. Yes.
But I think our weekly grab was pretty good this week, pretty positive. So we got
Diverse, diverse.
balance. So we got to do a little dragging as part of our piss poor performance. P, 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 P. Okay. So, best friend, who are you not feeling this week?
My piss poor is a double piss, if you will. First part is just gonna go to Disney because why would y'all do all of that to renege? Y'all just like people have been canceling their $20,000 Disney cruises. Like their Disney, like if you want to go to Disney, girl, now it'll be time to book because they're not making no money and it's on sale. But
I don't want
just
to go on no cruise.
yeah, Or the parks too, everything's discounted because they're just not, it's a recession anyway, or it's just showing the first
Yeah, exactly.
indicators. But I think to do all of that, go into all of this uproar, just to backtrack it and lose up to $13 billion,
Yeah.
and then y'all just announced that y'all want y'all prices to go up in 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
2 weeks, not even no warning, like just like, oh,
They
our
said,
price is
oh, y'all
going
not
up.
mad at us no more? Now we're gonna raise them prices. I don't
Yeah,
know.
they are just doing everything to get themselves canceled. It's just like,
I
really,
just don't
Disney?
know if we need them anymore. Like, I've been a Hinge girl. I'm contemplating if I want to renew this account with Disney and Hulu and all of that. And I've had a Hulu account for a long time.
You have.
But
We have.
we have.
We have.
And I'm just like, I don't know if I want to keep it, renew it. I'm just not feeling how they're moving, to be honest. So I'm
Yeah.
really pissed that they did all of that for these broadcasts, these other networks that one are still not going to show Jimmy Kimmel, and two, the old president of Disney said the new president of Disney, like, why would you do that? Like, you could have just let them say what they were going to say. They like to bluff, but y'all just look stupid. And the
Right.
other half of my piss poor goes to Crystal from The Read. My ex got me into The Read. I haven't listened to The Read in about 6, 7 years. I like my podcast to be funny, or like, I like to listen about like SNL or Amy Poehler, just silly podcasts if it's not like us or TV. So I really
Right.
haven't just gotten jiggy with them in a long time. No shade.
I thought they were funny.
I
No.
thought they were, but then it just wasn't my jam. I just am so confused about the vitriol and hate that this queer woman has for this straight woman minding her business. Because there's people saying they don't agree, blah, blah, blah. But to say, I hope you don't die on the surgery table after you have your fourth kid.
Wait, what are you talking about? Who was she talking about? I'm
So Crystal
confused.
was talking about Cardi B, and every podcast they read somebody who gets on their nerves. She
Okay.
had a 20 to 30 minute read calling Cardi a dumb, stupid bitch and a hoe.
Oh.
The way she was talking about this woman, like she knew her, like she knew her personal business, like she knew her kids weren't being taken care of. The judgment compared to the Nick Cannon when Cardi was like, my kids live in one house. I was married for 8 years, 7 years, 8 years, still legally married, but I'm separated because he don't want to sign the papers. I had three kids in my wedding, like
She
my
doesn't need to explain
marriage.
all of that.
But the way this girl, Jocelyn, just was
Why
talking
was
of
she? Why? I
just
mean,
disgusting, just for no reason. Like, and then she kept using the excuse of she went to school and has her master's in mental health. She's not a practicing therapist. She's not a licensed therapist to give anybody opinions. But her thing is broken homes and things. Mind your business.
what?
The way she
Wait,
read this.
she got cheated on.
Listen, she
Please.
got some trauma. First of all, she's a gay like me. And my whole thing is, I don't have kids. I can't tell nobody with a kid what to do, what not to do, when to have the kid, when not to have the kid. That's not my business.
Yes,
The
that
hate
part.
and vitriol she gave to Cardi B for 20, 30 minutes. And then her response was, oh, everybody's mad. I haven't gotten people mad on the internet in a long time. Girl, this is why you ain't got no damn girlfriend and you got nothing but dogs. You too miserable. So I just didn't like that. I don't think nobody needs this negative energy right now. And I'm just pissing all over her, Crystal, because that was
Is
uncalled for.
that her style? Like, has she done that before?
She'll read people. Like, she's read, like, she's done it before. Not to, I just think that this was just so unwarranted, the judgment she had. You a dumb bitch, Cardi, and you getting pregnant again, damn good. It was just way too much. And people would be like, oh, you can judge, you can have your opinion, but you can't be pro-choice because if they would have found out that Cardi was pregnant and had an abortion, and oh, she killing
Right.
her baby. You can't make people happy. That's why I'm so happy I'm not famous. I don't ever want to be famous. Just the mental.
I'm wondering how that's really going to impact her, because it's like, regardless, I know you just do a podcast, but you're still like a public figure, and you got to be mindful of the things you say when you're in that that light. Like I'm always deleting tweets, undoing retweets, because it's just like it easily could come back to bite you because you kind of are in a situation where your name is at least just like can be elevated in a way or tied to a brand or entity. And you got to think
Exactly.
about those things. So even though it's like she just does a podcast, so she can speak her mind, you still are putting yourself in public spaces. You still go to industry events. You still might potentially want to get brand deals and just things where relationships matter. So it's like even when you're doing these reads, you have to be mindful of how you're doing the read. You know, like Charlamagne reads people all the time, but it's like calling someone a low life bum ass mother, you know, or a bad father. Like you got, it's like he doesn't go there because it's like one, like you said, it's too personal. Like, do you really know that about that person? And two, it's like you're still a public figure where you have to cross paths with these people or people associated with them or just brands associated with them. So you got to be more smart than that.
Yeah, 100%, a hundred
And
percent.
you got to be more smart than wanting to just do something to get a moment, because that's what it is. People just want moments. And
Listen, and
if,
somebody said that a lot of people weren't talking about them, a lot of people stopped listening to them. This kind of brought them back in the conversation in a negative way. And it's more people saying, like, it's not what she said, it's how she said it. I'm hearing a lot. It's not like, I understand. And Cardi, even her clap back was so classy. She was like, listen, I understand people might be disappointed because they had an idea of me and what they wanted after this divorce. She said, I'm happy. My boyfriend's happy. I take care of my kids. I don't ever see my kids crying or not taken care of. They always with me or my mom or my sister. And she was just very classy. And I was so turned off. So to your point about being careful because you are a public figure and you know you're gonna be in certain rooms and you wanna make sure you don't ever turn people off. I know she turned a lot of people off with this. I know because I'm gonna try to send it to her. You can just listen to it on the pod. It's just nasty, but it's nasty. It's not a read. We're doing piss pours. I'm not calling her a fat. I'm just not degrading her. I'm degrading what she did, or I'm not even degrading. I'm just saying I didn't like it. The way she degraded Cardi was so unnecessary, so disgusting. So I'm pissing on you, and that's respectfully. Who are you pissing
So nasty, so rude.
on? So bad.
I unfortunately am pissing on a former fave on The Real Housewives of Miami, and that is Julia Lemigova. She used to be a fan favorite, but what we are seeing in this new season of Housewives of Miami that is now literally near its end. It's about to be the reunion time because the season finale just aired. Or I believe it's going into the season finale. Julia's fall from grace. We've seen it all season, as well as her wife. Martina. I mean, Martina, her fall from grace was spilled over onto social media when she's so anti-trans, which is like crazy.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, because
Crazy.
it's like,
Crazy.
you're a lesbian sports star. It's just like what do you mean? And so just to kind of see, I think a lot of people, when Martina tweeted what she tweeted about the trans, that already started putting more eyes on Julia of like, well, how can you be married to someone like this? But then in addition, this was the season where Julia threw a drink on Gertie, and for no reason, really. They were having a little spat, but nothing to the degree of getting physical and then again playing victim. And then now, Gertie is a black woman and then Julia is a white woman. And so it's like there's that factor that plays into it. And we've seen this before on Housewives, and it always upsets the fans. So there was that. Then, in addition to the fact that Julia and Martina adopted two little black boys, they're brothers,
Oh, I
but
didn't know they was black. I told you I'm a couple
yes,
episodes behind. I knew they was brothers.
they are two little black boys. And so people are just wondering, what's that dynamic like? If you have this transphobic lesbian wife, and then now you adopted these two little black boys, and it caused a wedge with Martina, I mean, with Julia's older daughters. They're clearly estranged this season, and you're seeing Julia talk about it. But then in this last episode, it's like Martina had this cold-heartedness about it, where she's just upset that the daughters are upset about them choosing to adopt the boys. But I think there's more there, and we're not hearing the daughter's side. And then they show flashbacks of Julia, you know, not knowing what school her daughter was attending. So there's just a lot more there about Julia. Then, in addition to that, you know, Julia and Adriana have always been really close, but now you see that Julia is kind of pushing herself away from Adriana and getting close with Alexia and Marisol, who are Adriana's arch enemies. So it's kind of like this little shadiness, but at the same time, so Julia in this last episode tells Adriana, like, you're not fun anymore. And then Adriana just goes for the gutter, like Adriana's known to do in her confessional, and just talks about Julia, how many times she's been engaged. She's been engaged 9 times. This is someone
Damn, I
who
didn't know
can't,
that.
right, who can't make decisions. And it's just like, dang, Adriana, how long have you been sitting on that shade? And if this is how you really feel, or were y'all ever truly friends? But overall, Julia has just had a fall from grace, and I think we see her a lot differently now. And I really just w won't be surprised if this might be her last season, or if she gets demoted to a friend next season, because it's just like, you were pinching for straws this season with picking up the feud with Gertie and then throwing the drink on her. And then it's like, okay, yes, we get it. You adopted two black boys, but that's just not a storyline. So to me, I would say her time is done. And you were trying to probably prevent that by beefing with Gertie, but now you did something that comes off as a little racist, so, or microaggressive. So
And
yeah,
I wonder what
Julia.
conversation she's having. Like, I know she, if, especially if she doesn't have many black friends, looks like Gertie was one of her few black friends, and that didn't work out. So, like, what education are you giving them? What insight are you giving them? Like, what conversations are you having?
Yeah, so people are saying a little, expressing some concerns about the boys, and but I mean, regardless, we don't know those situations. Of course, it's all about them being raised in families of love, but it is just, the age factor. The kids are so young. Like, I think one is 2 and the other is 3. And Martina's old, Julia's up there, so it's just
You know
like,
what? She getting up there.
yeah. But yeah, so that's who we was pissing on this week. But let's now get into who we're rooting for as part of our yes segment.
Yes.
Okay, best friend, who are you rooting for?
This is kind of correlating to my piss poor because my yes goes to Cardi B. I will be honest, most of the TV I've watched this week were just her interviews. They've been lighthearted. They've been getting me through work. I watched her interview on Angie Martinez podcast in real life, which I love. I watched her Breakfast Club interview. I watched her Fat Joe and Jada is having a podcast. I never knew that that would like feed my soul, but I really like listening to these rap men in these fifth in their 50s talk about like old school stuff and how they used to be in the streets and now they're family men. Anyway, she's just been delighting. I love the album. Shower Tears is my favorite song. And I'm like, I want to be sad, but I'm single. So why am I sad? But it's because I feel like I'm Cardi B and I just got a divorce from Offset. But it's just been really fun, a really lighthearted way to get over this week, especially with the TV. Who can you stream? Who can you not stream? So I've just been watching a lot of videos, laughing. She talked about why she doesn't really do TV and stuff, but I could definitely watch a freaking reality show with her. But just Cardi, I have more. I'm gonna watch Call Me Daddy for the first time in my life ever, or listen to it because she will be on an episode of Call Her Daddy or Call Me Daddy. That podcast with that white woman.
I
But
just like
yes,
her roll up, her roll up,
her
her roll
roll out,
out.
roll up, roll out.
Roll up, her roll up. It's been good to see an artist get back to the traditional way of releasing an album and having a single, coming out with a single, and then going on a promo tour. And then the fact that she's doing it while extremely pregnant. And she came out and she was honest about the pregnancy. So I commend her for that. And I listened to the album and I actually enjoyed the album. I like that she is just being truthful about where she's at in life. And you always get that from her. And as someone, because it's always the Cardi B, BS, Nicki Minaj debate, And I'm actually a Nicki Minaj fan. I'm not a Barb and I'm not a Barty Gang member.
You are a you gang. Like,
Yeah, I'm Jeroclyn Gang. I'm not
yeah,
Day
I'm not gonna
Hive.
fight for anybody.
I
No.
just appreciate good music and good artistry. And you just hear the growth in Cardi B. You hear, her really just being like, trying to prove like I can rap, whether
Right.
she's writing the stuff or not. It's still just like she stays true to the elements of hip hop, which regardless, like that's what it's about, despite, the writing part, but whatever. And
And just
it's a good
entertaining.
album. Whereas,
Yes.
with Nicki Minaj, I love Nicki Minaj. I like her. Well, I don't love Nicki Minaj, like, because now she does a lot that it just makes me not like love her, but I do,
Yeah.
I like her and I really enjoy her music. And being honest, I actually listen to her music more than Cardi B. But I like them both. I've always liked all female rappers from high school. I was listening to Jackie O and Shauna. I've always just been into female rappers because it resonates with me because I'm a woman and I'm a bad bitch.
Period.
So with Nicki Minaj, I've always, aside from this last album, Pink Friday 2, I like, and Queen was good, but I just felt like with Pink Friday and then the Pink Panther Reloaded or whatever, Reloaded Pink Friday mixtape, whatever, it was just like there was like, it was just singles. It wasn't like a flowed album. And then also like Nicki just gives you bars. She doesn't really release songs that are super personal to her and where she's at in her love life or with family, and I get it because you got a lot of skeletons that you probably don't want to dig into.
You know
But we
what?
get that from Cardi B. And so you got to just give her credit for that, because when it comes to an actual album, that's what makes a good album a good album. It has to like flow from start to finish.
100%. And like I said, I'm the opposite. I've never listened to a Nicki album. I think she has more singles. I like the flow. I've listened to it cleaning up. And she's just been having a good week. So she
Right.
gets my yes.
Yes, Cardi
Who
B,
you boo?
I'm rooting for you. I like, she's just reminding everybody why, Cardi B's likable, because she is.
Love so much personality. Who you rooting for this week?
So I am rooting for the iconic, legendary Ryan Seacrest. We don't talk about
Yes,
him often, but Ryan
we do.
Seacrest
We
is
never
still
talk. Wait,
around.
wait. Not don't often. We never
Listen,
talk about
but
Ryan
Ryan, everybody knows Ryan Seacrest stays booked and busy, okay?
He
He
does.
is the Regis Philbin of our generation. And so he left Live with Regis and Ryan. And he went and took over for Pat Sajak on Wheel of Fortune because Pat Sajak retired. Pat Sajak is very, very veteran with Wheel of Fortune. He was there from the start of the show, I believe it was like 1983. So now watching Wheel of Fortune and seeing Ryan Seacrest host it with Vanna White, Ryan Seacrest is actually really, really good. Wheel of Fortune is always a timeless classic show. You could just turn it on and instantly get into it because you're gonna want to try to solve the puzzle, and or yell at the person who's on the actually on the game show and isn't solving the puzzle. And it's like, hello, the answer is high school diploma. Why did you not get that? So I get really into it. Me and my husband, we watch it. We watch it along with Jeopardy. But Ryan Seacrest is like good comedic timing. You can tell that he's telling jokes like really off the fly because it can't be scripted if you're looking at like the response time. Like it's based on if someone, spun the wheel a certain way or said a letter or a fun fact about themselves. And just his quick comedic timing is really good. So he's just made for this. And I think, we don't do enough of giving people their flowers. So, Ryan Seacrest, I love you. From American Idol to hosting the New Year's Eve specials to taking over for Regis Philbin on Live with Regis and Kelly. And then now we're seeing you carry on Pat Sajak's legacy on Wheel of Fortune. You the man. Shout out to
Question,
Ryan
how is
Seacrest.
it working out with him and Vanna?
They're
What's that
great.
energy like? Okay, do you think she needs to retire soon, or you kind of like the
She's
juxtaposition of?
most definitely going to retire soon, but
Got
it's
it.
still so good seeing her be Vanna and just beautiful and graceful in her role of just spinning the block. Well, now touching the screens. She doesn't spin the
She don't
blocks.
even
That's
got to
been a
spin
long time.
anything.
It's been very long since she spun the block. It is
She just got to
now,
walk and touch,
yes,
baby.
she just
Walk and
walks and
touch.
touch. And you know, to just see her still moving, because what, how old is Vanna White? I have to Google this now.
60s. I know she's in her early 60s, at least.
Because she looks good, and you know, a lot of women can't just be up there walking around in heels and pretty dresses and still got it. She is pushing 70, best friend. She is 68 years old.
To you, Vanna White. You're getting the
Yes.
extra yes
She
because.
turns 69 February 18th. And even looking at these pictures of her, she doesn't like, she's not getting no work done. She's staying true to herself. She doesn't cake herself with makeup either. It's like she's just showing the natural beauty in an aging woman. That's how you do it.
You better go,
You
Vanna.
better, Vanna, mother effing White, period. Okay. And on that note, let's get into some positivity. As we close out our show with some positive affirmations and quotes and mantras to get you going through this week, because we also will be taking a break next week, so we'll be back in 2 weeks. Sorry, y'all. Y'all know I'll be traveling and stuff, but I'm taking a break after next week, so we'll be consistent after that. But best friend, what is the positive quote that you want to leave our listeners with?
Do not stop thinking of life as an adventure. You have no security unless you can live bravely, excitingly, imaginatively. Unless you can choose a challenge instead of competence. By First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt.
Nice. Yeah, she always got strong quotes.
She always got something to say. What's yours?
Mine is, wisdom is knowing when to have rest, when to have activity, and how much of each to have. From Sri Sri Ravi Shankar.
Oh, Shri Shri.
I knew you was gonna have something to say about the name.
Shri
Okay,
Shri.
y'all, but don't forget to like and subscribe, rate and review, follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV, and tune in for this episode when it comes out, and keep listening to it for the next 2 weeks until we come out with episode three, because
Yes, when
we
we
will
come
be
back, we're
back.
gonna come back and y'all gonna know because we're gonna promote it. And in the
Period,
meantime,
guys.
catch up.
All right, and our closing slogan is.
Love, abundance, and affordable hair bundles because life is expensive.
Life is expensive, but if you do buy the expensive bundles, it is a good investment that
It's
can
worth it.
last you, and then you won't have to keep making repeat purchases of cheap hair bundles.
Bang.
All right, bye, y'all.